Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Thanks for listening today as we are finishing our conversation entitled Four Ways to Develop a Closer Relationship with Your Teen. Beth and I enjoyed putting this one together. It's a very important topic, and we sure hope that you'll listen carefully and you'll put into practice what you are learning as you join us for these episodes. Let's get started with today's program. So we look for those communication times. As you're just walking through life, make sure you're talking. Don't allow the social media aspect of our life, the demands of a screen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess there were times when we would go like to a doctor's office. You would sit in a doctor's office. You would either read or talk.
Right.
And now we all stare at screens. And even sometimes we all get in a vehicle on our way to church, somebody has texted, so we're back on the screens again.
Right.
And that is part of our life. And it's not that any of those things are wrong. We live in this technological age where that is part of our life.
Right.
But what we have to do is be very careful that we are not allowing anything to hinder the communication we ought to be having with our teenager.
Absolutely. And I would even interject here, and we want you to listen to our podcast. And I listen to several podcasts, but that's another thing that can take me away from a child talking to me, is I'll have my earbuds in, I'm just happily cooking dinner or doing dishes or laundry or whatever, and I'm listening to my podcast, and I totally miss an opportunity if my child comes in to have a conversation, because they'll look at my ears and see, and they'll just, you know, oh, you're listening, it's fine, I'm just going to walk away. And instead of that, I need to push the pause and say, no, I can finish listening later. Come have a conversation with me.
When my wife started first listening to a lot of podcasts with her earphones, I couldn't see them, and I would say something and she wouldn't answer. And I would be thinking, what's going on here? What did I do? And then I would be like, oh, she didn't even hear me because she's listening to whoever.
Yes.
And so it takes communication. Remember that expectations require good communication.
Yes.
If we're not careful as parents, one of the things we do is we harass teenagers. The Bible warns about that in Ephesians 6 when it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath.
Right.
And sometimes we want our kids to do something that we haven't clearly delineated the expectation because we haven't taken the time to communicate it thoroughly and clearly.
Right.
And then we fuss at them because they're not meeting an expectation. And moms and dads, that is a tremendous way to put a wedge between you and a teenager.
Yes.
Expectations and ramifications require good communication.
They do. And I would insert here too that you should be talking just normally about everyday life and about things that are happening if they have a job, things that are happening at the job, and even helping to give them Christian perspective if they work with unsaved people, which probably they do. All these conversations should be happening instead of we're busy, they're busy, and the only time I ever talk to them is to tell them some expectation that I have for them that they're not meeting, or to tell them what's going to happen if they don't get that expectation done. So communication is great in connecting with your teen.
And moms and dads, here's a little, you know, just a little thing that I found that really helps in our family. There's a sense as your kids become teenagers that you still want to treat them like the child they are. They are your child.
Yes.
And so there's a sense in which you want to say, listen, this is what I want you to do and you better do it. Mm. And yeah, one of the things I've found is our kids are getting older as they get into the teen years, that if I know there's an area where, you know, one of the kids is not, you know, measuring up, they're not exactly where they ought to be, I can correct that. And it's fine to do so. It's fine to say as a parent, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And it better not happen again. Mm-hmm. There's a time to be just straightforward, matter of fact.
Right.
But one of the things that helps is to say to a, especially to my sons, maybe more so, and it's probably because I've been dealing with sons more over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things you can say is, hey, I need you to help me with something. Mm-hmm. And you say to a son, you know, I've noticed you've started being a little disrespectful to mom. And will you help me with that? Will you pick that up? Will you change that? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we end up saying, you know, there's a thing when you go to a kid and you say, you are disrespectful and that better stop.
Right.
And that puts them a little on the defensive by nature, even though you have every right to do that. But as a teenager, they're developing that independence that God intends them to have as an adult.
Right.
And so when you come to a teenager and you ask, you choose your words carefully and you just simply say, I need you to help me with this. Or you say, you know what, I've noticed that you haven't been helping do the dishes as well as you normally did. And will you pick that up? Will you don't wait to be asked and be told, look for the, you know, and don't wait for mom to tell you to take out the trash. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. So will you help me and just get that done? Will you just do that without being asked? And what I found is that communication gives our children the chance to recognize an area of their life where they need to grow.
Right.
And then they can choose to respond to it. And many times they feel that you're treating them like an adult and they actually will really rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. One of the greatest illustrations of this in our family is if David has to travel without us, and when he would leave, he would always have expectations for the children. Maybe he would even have some outdoor chores for the boys to get finished while he was gone. But he would always say, look, you're the man while I'm gone. And could you please make sure that mom's not overwhelmed by anything, that if she needs help with something, that you get to it before she even asks? Will you offer to do things for her? And it always was such a blessing to me, because the boys took that very seriously, because he had asked that to them man to man. It wasn't a demand. It was just, hey, could you do this for me? And they always went above and beyond. They sure. just were very helpful. And hey, mom, I got that. Don't worry about it. Hey, text me on your way home from the grocery store and I'll be ready to bring the groceries in, whatever. It was wonderful. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That's communication. Here are three more. The second one is contact. It takes contact to build a relationship. And this is the only way contact happens is with a word that's so tough for our generation. It's the word time.
Yes.
It just takes time. And yet, here's what we discovered in our home, and many of you have already discovered this, I'm sure, but life is busy, and life is so busy that what we look to, the way we connected, the way we made contact with our children, is we did it with the normal time.
Yes.
And so we work together. You know, there's work that has to be done, so we do it together.
Right.
That meant we folded laundry together. That meant we did dishes together. That meant we helped cook. And each of our children are very good cooks. And all of our kids can cook, our boys as well as our daughters.
Yes.
And part of that is just because we work together. And that contact, our boys, I love it. My boys love to be in the kitchen with mom. And sometimes they get in her way. They make a huge mess. But the fact of the matter is that contact, that's a time.
Where it is.
Cooking has to be done. So taking that time to make a contact is incredibly, incredibly powerful. There's work that can be done.
Right.
There's play. We play together. Our kids always love the game Bluff that we would sometimes play together. Or we would play Uno. And what do they call that? Moldovan Uno. It was a method I learned in Moldova when I was there preaching at a Christian camp. And you can pray together. You can serve together. It takes contact.
Right.
And so the contact really, really has been a huge connection for the kids. When the boys and I cut a tree together, I know you've heard me say that before here on the podcast, or when we do dishes together, we do laundry together, we laugh. When our kids were younger, Beth and I were shopping in a mall one day, and we came across this CD, back when everybody listened to CDs, of Jamaican music. And it was,
old-timey, like band music.
Yeah, it was band music, but the guy singing it, there was somebody, it was Jamaican. And so the accent. And Bethany and I, on a whim, bought that CD. And it was pretty lively, a little more lively than maybe we would have normally listened to. But we used that CD for cleaning. So when we were cleaning the house, we would put that CD on. And some of the songs were just hysterical, and we would laugh. And then we got to where we would sing them. And the reason that comes back to me is that somewhere along the way, the kids got to the point to where if mom and dad went on a date, we would come home and that CD was blaring.
Yes.
And so you just thought, you know what? It's probably too much. It's not really our standard. We want to be careful. So we actually got rid of the CD. And our married son, Matthew, some weeks ago sent a family text out. It went to everybody in the family, and it was a connection on Spotify to that CD.
Right,
and
he
was like, look what I found. And I was just dying at how the kids all responded to that. Oh, my word, remember when?
Right.
And that contact of just singing a funny
Jamaican band music type song together. That has paid dividends even into their adulthood.
Yes.
So how do you build this relationship? Takes communication, takes contact.
It does.
And what's the third one there?
The third one is connection.
Now, there's a little bit of crossover between contact and connection.
Yes.
But by that, I was thinking about connection, not just to a teenager, but in the sense of Ecclesiastes says, a threefold cord is not soon broken. Mm-hmm. And in a family, for many of us, the family is mom, dad, and a teenager.
Right.
We're talking about mom, dad, and a teenager, or mom, dad, and teenagers. The idea behind that is if the connection between me and you, mm-hmm. when Beth and I are connected about this is what we want for our children, this is where we're headed for our kids, that takes connection on our part. That takes mm-hmm. contact on our part. That takes talking on our part.
Right.
When we're connected, then what that allows us to do is connect to the teenager.
Right.
And when all three of us in a connection are on the same page and we're communicating expectations and demands, we're communicating and agreeing on the different ramifications,
right.
That connection makes a huge deal.
Right. And I would just say this goes a little further than contact. We were talking about contacting with your teen in the daily and in the dishes and the laundry and whatever, and just having a good family talk time during that time. But a connection would go maybe even a little further, maybe a purposeful, hey, let's go out and get coffee and let's talk, or let's go on a walk and let's just talk and let's share what's going on in your heart, or share what's going on at school, and I can share what's going on in my heart. And so it's just a little bit deeper connection than just that daily contact.
And be on alert for this, moms and dads, that when you have a teenager that says, hey, you want to do this with me? Try to make it your point to say yes as often as you can.
Right.
There are times when you just can't.
Right.
But if a teen says, hey, you want to watch this movie with me? Mm. Or if a teen says, hey, would you like to go here with me?
Right.
Or whatever, try to respond positively to their offers of connection.
Yes.
The last word is calmness.
Mm.
And one of the most important things you can do as a parent in developing a closer relationship with your teen is to keep things calm.
Yes.
Meaning, don't get in the habit of fussing at your teenager. Don't get in the habit of raising your voice. Don't get in the habit of being irritated. And don't allow yourself to get irritated. Ask the Spirit of God to help you to have a calmness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the goal is future. We're training our children to be adults, successful adults, to do well. That things aren't necessarily where they ought to be today is okay if we're in the process of headed in the direction of where they will be okay.
Right.
And so just take the time to practice calmness. Remember, you discuss things with girls face-to-face, and you do a lot of talking, looking into their eyes. With boys, quite frequently, boys prefer the shoulder-to-shoulder.
Right.
Where you're doing something together while you're talking, you know. And that may even be something as simple as playing a video game.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there's a conversation happening, or you're watching a movie, there's a conversation happening, or you're driving somewhere together and the conversation is happening.
Right.
Or you're walking and a conversation is happening.
Right.
Or you're doing dishes side by side. Mm-hmm. So all of those are opportunities for you to practice calmness. And when your son or daughter knows that they can come to you about anything and the response will be calm, there will be just a willingness to listen and to think and not be. If your teen comes to you with something in their heart and you respond to it negatively, you're harsh or you're loud or you're impatient or you're bothered, or you just jump in with both feet and let them have it, you just shut down the opportunity to connect to your kid.
Yes.
And you also are producing, with your lack of calmness, greater conflict.
Yes.
And so here's just four ways that you can develop a closer relationship with your teen. We're talking about conflict resolution between parents and teenagers. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, as today we finished our conversation entitled Four Ways to Develop a Closer Relationship with Your Teen. Join us next time, and we will begin talking about practical advice for solving specific disagreements. We think you'll learn from this one as well. For more information or to hear more from Keeping It Young, simply visit tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a co-production of TIL Radio and Keeping It Young. Thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org. or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.